Well, I would like you to turn with me to Ephesians 4. I already released them. You were downstairs. He can do what he wants. Ephesians 4, and this is entitled High Expectation. And we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to jump around just a little bit, so be ready. Give me an amen when you're there.
Amen.
Okay. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And now jump over to verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Father God, you have given so much instruction in your word, and we pray today that our hearts will be open, our minds and our hearts will be receptive, that we'll hear what you have to say and we will apply it in our hearts, that we will honor you with our obedience. And so prepare our hearts right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill us up to the full right now and instruct us as to what you would like each and every one of us to learn from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that was a lot to read, but the theme that runs through needed to be read in entirety. I was checking, and actually Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians while he was in 2-year imprisonment in Rome. Now, that's something to be able to write this while you're in prison, you know. But it's not just to the Ephesians. Ephesus was a large city. A lot of the churches were located around there. So that is why it was penned to the Ephesians. So anyway, that's your little bit of background. Parents, how many of you have high expectations for your kids? Well, I would hope everybody would put your hands up. Thank you. I mean, for some of you, it's athletics, sports. For some, it's academics. For some, it's just how they live at home. You don't want them rotting in the house, right? You know, pick up, clean up, brush your teeth, help out, take out the garbage. But we all have high expectations for our children. And in the same way, bosses have high expectations for their employees, correct? Get enough sleep at night, because when you come in here, I don't want you sleeping in a corner. Do your work properly. Be on time. Respect the your workplace, the equipment, the surroundings, all of it. There are high expectations there also. They don't want you to slack off, and that's the same thing that Paul is talking about. He does not want us slacking off. The Lord does not want his children, and in a way, we are kind of his employees. Got it? He wants us to act the way that our boss in the world or our parents in the world would want us to act. Now, one of the first things that we see in the scripture is put off your old self. Well, that's really not easy for a lot of people, but that is what we're called to do. There are many times, I'm gonna go off track here just a little. When our kids were young, I encouraged Wayne, don't tell them the stories of what you did when you were young. And he inevitably got some in there, but because kids want to imitate. And I have found that kids who grew up on the farm made their own fun. Now, this was not Jack's and Hopscotch. Out on the farm, they did things. And I didn't want my kids to know those things. One thing that comes to mind, and this was from my father-in-law. He decided to share with us how he was from a very large family, 12 kids. So there were a lot of boys. Well, they were coming home, and I don't know if it was from school. I'm not sure where they were coming home from, but of course, back then, you walked. And they were walking, and it was hot. And they went past a watering hole. Now, people, when I say watering hole, I'm not talking a bar. I am talking a genuine watering hole where cattle go to drink. When they stand in it, they do everything in it. Anyway, I would never go into a watering hole, but these boys did. What do you think they did? Stripped every bit of clothes off and went skinny dipping. Evidently, that's what they did back then. So they're having a fun time in the water, skinny dipping. And unbeknownst to them, somebody stole all their clothes. I don't know if it was an uncle. I don't know if it was the person who owned the farm. I don't know who took them. All I know is that my father-in-law said those boys got out, had to get home, or they were going to get in trouble for not being home choring. They had to run buck naked all the way home. And they had to hide behind any tree. If you weren't fast enough, you know, if you were the slower runner, you had to hide behind a bush, a tree, anything, and they had to run all the way home. Well, that was one of the stories I did not want them sharing with my kids because, well, you know. But getting back to taking off our old self, there are things that all of us have done, ways that we have lived in our past. The Lord wants us to take that off, take that old self off. We are bought and paid for. In Ephesians 4, verse 9, it says, after telling us not to live like the Gentiles, the Lord tells us why. Because they have lost all sensitivity. Now, to me, this is Mary translated, they no longer had a conscience. There were no restraints anymore. They have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. They were doing and living in a way that they had cast off restraint, and they just wanted more and more and more. That is what he is warning about. We are not to live like that. It says in verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self because it's being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Now, you know, I thought, what are deceitful desires? I kept reading that. And, of course, I turned to our old friend, Google, and looked it up. And it's one of the places, you know, you get a whole host of different ideas. But one of them I really related to. It's actually, deceitful desires is actually a desire that lies to you. It's in your mind. An example. Oh, if I could just have that house, oh, my life would be great. I would be happy if I just had that house. Or if I just only had that car, that would be it. That's what I want. It will make me happy. Or if I just had that person, I know I'd be happy. Well, they promise fulfillment, those ideas. They promise a fulfillment that they cannot deliver on. Nothing can make you happy. Wishing something to happen is no guarantee that it's going to come to pass. You can wish and wish and wish. There's a lot of things I'm wishing for right now, but they're not coming to pass very quick. When we begin to follow Christ, we start changing on the inside. We stop doing the things that we used to do. You know, everybody has their own areas. I'm not really going to share what my areas are, but we know what they are. If you're honest with yourself, you know what the old person, the old man used to do. But we start changing once we accept Christ and we stop doing those things. He wants us to become more like him. In verse 25 of our text, it starts giving us directions. And this is where, if you're taking any notes, get your pencils ready, get your paper ready, because there's going to be some writing to do. Okay, he gives us directions. I like to call it a code of conduct. You know how you go to work and you get a code of conduct? This is what we expect from you. Even in colleges, this is our code of conduct. Well, I'd like to call this the Lord's code of conduct. Some of these are self-explanatory, so I'm not going to expound on them, so we'll go through them fairly quickly. Number one, stop lying. That's pretty simple, straightforward, right? No one needs explaining on that one. Number two, don't let anger get a hold of you. Number three, don't steal, share. Number four, no unwholesome talk. Now, I used to think that that meant swearing. But in reality, it means when we talk about people behind their backs, when we speak down to people. Have you ever had a person do that to you? Speak down to you like you're an idiot? I've had that. Not so fond. No. So don't do that to others. Don't speak down to people. And don't degrade someone. Don't make them feel less than what they are. And don't be phony and give pat answers when someone is trying to tell you that they're suffering, that they're going through it. Don't say, oh, well, I'll pray for you. You know what? That's a pat answer. Be attentive. Listen to them. And when you say, oh, I'll pray for you, you better be praying for them. Don't dismiss other people's feelings. Number five, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't make the Holy Spirit sad. Don't do things that are stupid. That's Mary. That was a Mary one. That's, yeah. But don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And then we move down into chapter 5. And it starts in verse 3. With number 6, no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed. And I thought that was interesting. Those were all placed together. You know, we always focus on the sexual immorality, but impurity and greed. Greed got me. What is it? The Lord despises a greedy person. When all you think of is self and hanging on to everything you have, when you know someone's in need and someone's hurting, and you don't care, because if you give to them, you're taking away from you. That is so anti what the Lord has spoken to us. He wants us to share. Number 7. No obscenity, which means disgusting to the senses, repulsive, or abhorrent to morality or virtue. Those, now that's from Webster's dictionary, but I needed some help. Number 8, no foolish talk. Now, I actually needed to do a little research on this and learned that the Ephesians, back in the day, they were learned. And they were known for this hit home too, because I get this from my father. They were witty. So they would snap back with comments, and they would go back and forth with witty comments back and forth to each other. And what it was condescending. But back in the day, they thought that they were upper crust if they could do that. That was a wonderful thing. They were known for their witty conversations, but they would go too far. It's okay to have a quick wit, but control it. Know how to use it. These describe conversations, these words that they're talking about describe conversations that are seasoned with a selfish, look how clever I am attitude. So be careful. If you're witty, and I know I've met a lot of witty people, and it can be fun, but it can also be a dangerous road. And of course, number 9, coarse joking. Colossians 3, verse 8 uses a different word, but it conveys the same idea. No filthy communication. I think we all get it. Number 10, don't be deceived by empty words. Words that mislead people. You know, we have pastors in our country, and I'm not specifying or picking anybody out. I'm just saying there are pastors that are preaching to people that God is love, and He is love, but that there's no punishments. It is such a grace type of preaching that they are not warning people about hell. Those are empty words. It's a clear warning for Christians to be careful. Who are you following? Are you following a pastor that's saying, you're great. Love, we're all great. We're all going to heaven. You know, God's grace is going to cover everything. That is not what God has ordained that pastor to do. He is filling you with empty words. And it says right in Scripture, don't do that. So be careful. This is a warning to us. Do not follow empty words. Number 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. This is referring to sinful deeds that benefit no one. One commentator puts it, the works of darkness are unfruitful because they end in death. Number 12, do not be foolish. And a fool is someone who denies God, doesn't believe in God. So when it says, do not be foolish, it's also saying, do not rebel against God. But understand the Lord's will. How do you do that? In the Word. So it's telling you, get in the Word. If you need to know the will of God, read it in His Word. Number 13. Don't worry, there's not a lot more. Do not get drunk on wine. Here, Paul feels led to warn people to not be controlled by alcohol. Now, I know there are all kinds of people who love to argue about drinking, and I'm not interested in your theology. Sorry. Don't come up afterwards and try and talk to me about it, because all I'm going by is right here. I'm interested in what the Word says. And all I know is that it's clear. Don't get drunk. Don't let alcohol control you. Enough said. Those are 13 clear expectations or codes of conduct of how we should live from the Lord. Listen, they're not only for your good, but they have another purpose. We were placed on this earth for a purpose. We are to be leading people to Christ and away from an eternity in hell. Simple. I listened to a pastor recently who it just hit me, and it stuck in my mind. And he gave 3 questions, and I want anyone who's got a pen, pencil, type it in your phone, I don't care. But there are 3 questions that he wanted everyone to write down. These three statements are about how you live. The first question: will how I live make anyone else fail, falter, or fall? And how you're living out there in the world, not in church, out there in the world, will how you're living make anyone else fail, falter, or fall? Number two, will how I live make Christ ashamed of me? Will how I live, will how I'm living make Christ ashamed of me? And number three, will how I live or am living make me guilty before God? Will how I live make me guilty before God? Sobering, isn't it? Makes you think. Just like the Ten Commandments I read at the beginning of the service, these are 13 expectations from God. I'm not going to make excuses for myself or for anyone else. These are not all easy. It's not, because we are human. We fail. But it's important to know these things, especially going into Easter. Christ came to deliver us from these things. He died to give us forgiveness from these things. But you're not going to get delivered and you're not going to get forgiven if you don't repent. It's your responsibility to repent of these things that each and every one of us in some form or fashion have been doing or have done. It's these things we have to take off. It's this stuff that we remove, our old self, and try to live holy. It says in the Word, be holy, for I'm holy. That's not a, oh, would you please try? No, be holy, for I'm holy. Because unlike some pastors with empty words, there are consequences. And other people are watching. And those three questions, what are they seeing when they see how you live? Are you causing someone, a brother, to fall? Do you want his eternal destination on your hands? I don't think so. But Christ has provided a way out for all of us. And he has sent the Holy Spirit to give us the power to be able to overcome these things. Will you do it perfectly every time? No. You won't, because we are human and we are frailty. But we get up every day and we say, Lord, this is the day. I'm going to overcome this with the power of your Spirit, and I'm going to try again. I am going to try again. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to shake that old self off, and today I am going to try and beat all these things with your help. And if I fail, by night I get to you, Lord, I repent. I am sorry. I failed, Lord. And you know what? You don't have to wait till night. I do it during the day. Lord, I just blew it. I went through the checkup. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have laughed when that person said that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Lord, forgive me. Repentance is the most important thing that people have to think about. Christians, you've got to be deliberate on repenting and asking Christ for forgiveness. God is faithful. And that's why he said it in verse, let me see this, 14. It goes on to say, wake up, old sleeper. Rise from the dead. Throw off that dead old man. Be careful then how you live. He's not, it's very obvious, it's black and white, people. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because, why? The days are evil. And I got news for you. If they were evil then, we saw that evil in the rearview mirror years ago. We have escalated to new forms of evil. What are you going to do today? Are you going to repent? Are you going to turn? You know, when I take my last breath, you know what my biggest prayer is? For my kids and my grandkids to someday, if the Lord tarries, to go to my funeral. And they say, well, what was your grandma like? You know what I want? She loved Jesus. And she wasn't afraid to tell me she loved Jesus. And she had high expectations from me. She expected me to be more than just the old self. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you are complete. You have brought us through some of the most awful things, and you are faithful. You love us, and you want the absolute best for us. And by wanting that, you have given us instructions for what to do to get that way. You are a good God, and we love you. I praise you in this day that your word has come forth. Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Jesus, because I don't want anyone to think about, well, Mary said this today. No, I want this day to be all about you. You said this today, Lord. Mary didn't. Mary was a mouthpiece. So, Father, hide me back, pull your word forth, and plant it in each and every heart here today. Do your work in all of them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just brood over this place. And if conviction is needed, then I pray that you would convict in a mighty way. If repentance is needed, bring us to our knees in repentance, Lord. But I praise you and I thank you for an opportunity to share what you're trying to say in your word to these people. Lord, bless our day. Bless our time together. Be with each and every family on their way home. Keep us safe. Keep us from harm and danger. But more importantly, Lord, may we be a walking Jesus to those around us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.